so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a kind of chilly, windy, but at least sunny Friday in Nashville, Tennessee. And trust me when I tell you, I am in a good mood.
Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
Just so nobody questions this, I stayed till the end last night. Let there be no uncertainty about that. Jack Gentry is my witness.
I can attest.
So there was no Francisco Cabrera moment?
No.
He did ask for his coat with 40 seconds to go, but there was no signs of leaving.
I did. I admit I did. Anyway, let's start out on the plateau where Coach Watson Brown joins us. Watson, you caught the end of it, didn't you?
I caught ins and outs of the whole game and the end of it, absolutely. And I did not leave until it was over. So I did watch it through, and that was exciting. Now, I'll bet you that arena was rolling.
Oh, listen.
You couldn't tell on TV, but.
For anybody that hasn't seen it, that wants to see what we're talking about, go on either my Twitter account, GeorgePlasterTN, or the show's Twitter account.
It's the Plaster Show.
And we've got it up there. It's electric. If you don't know, the Predators tied the game last night with Calgary with right at 0.1 second to play. I'm not talking about 1 second. I'm talking about 0.1. And
as in a tenth.
As in a tenth. And they were, I guess, fortunate enough to be able to take the TV replay and put it on the big screen, Terry, so that the crowd knew pretty much before the officials knew when they went into review that at 0.1, the goal was in the back of the net.
Yeah, it was incredible. I don't know how Forsberg got that puck out from around the back of the net and to Granlund in such quick fashion, and then he made it count.
Watson, to me, this is last night, obviously one of the most dramatic Predator moments in that arena in the 20 years they've been there. But to me, it is one of the cool things about sports is just about the time you're pretty sure you know exactly what's going on, give me my coat, we're about to get the hell out of here, boom. And it proves you never know for sure.
Oh, was it Yogi, it ain't over till it's over?
Something like that.
And so many different sports you see that in, don't you? It doesn't matter what the sport is. It happens, and good and bad. It just like the other night watching Vanderbilt, and I stopped playing Georgia, and I said, they finally got one. I'll be dadgum. They missed two free throws, and the kid hits one from near half court. It's just amazing stuff like this goes on. It's why we all love sports.
Yeah.
It's why we all love sports is because you just never know. And last night was one of those. Because would you not say sitting there, I was in and out and watching it on TV, going back and forth to other things. I really never felt like they were going to win.
No.
I just didn't feel that.
And in fact, you know where I sit. And there's a group of us up there that have all been season ticket holders, you know, 10 years plus, and I turned to a bunch of them at one point, and I just sort of said, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
You know, they're not getting anything done. Then they tie the game at 2-2. And Watson, as you know, from my seats in the upper deck, at row one, you really see it all develop.
No,
and Jack heard me yell out, get back. and they didn't get back. They got caught in some sort of a line change that didn't go real well. And Winnipeg took advantage and took the lead with like 42 seconds.
Calgary.
Why do I keep saying that? Did I say Winnipeg?
It's somewhere where it's really cold.
It's up somewhere in Canada.
It's in Alberta.
Right. I mean,
when they did that,
though, get Winnipeg out of your mind.
They allowed Calgary to get so deep, no one took the puck.
Right.
And they were able to skate halfway into the offensive zone and make a play happen.
And so, in the end, had it ended up that way, first of all, in the standings, Calgary would be at 74, Nashville would be at 70. There'd be suddenly a big gap between those two. Instead, it ends up 73 for Calgary, 72 for Nashville. Look, this thing is far from over. And Watson was absolutely right yesterday when he said, look out for Minnesota. And he's right. The Fighting Craig Leopolds are right there. They're at 69 points. There is now a fifth team in this battle legitimately for two spots.
Yeah, and what they have, George, you and I have talked about it, and we said on the air, they're the ones that have the same number of games we do. So we've got I keep thinking that's the biggest advantage we have is we're down games, and that leads to wins, hopefully, and points. So if we're tied with somebody and we have three more games left to play than they do, I mean, really and truthfully, that could be a six-point swing. So that's what I see Minnesota. They're right with us. They have the same number of games. Now, they play tonight, so they'll get one ahead. I think they play tonight. But it's going to get interesting, I'm telling you. And the thing, looking at the schedule the rest of the way, guys,
yeah,
we're playing all the teams we're fighting, plus some other good ones along the way with it. But the schedule is tough. I mean, we're going to have to play. We've got to go play some hockey to get in. But so are these other teams that have got to play us too. So it's going to get neat. And you're right. The last game of the year is
against Minnesota.
Wow, come to Bridgestone in the last game of the year. And that might be a special game at that point.
It might be. Terry, here's the part that is, I think, the truth. I don't think they're playing particularly well. They make a lot of dumb mistakes in their own zone as far as turnovers that lead to all kinds of problems. By all rights, last night, they should have gotten clobbered. If UC Soros hadn't been monster block, it wouldn't have been 2-1. He is the only reason they even had a chance late.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're talking about a team that's not playing particularly well, but they find a way to get it done and they find a way to win, then you're talking about something that maybe you can build on, because you always hear coaches say that it's a whole lot easier to correct things and it's a whole lot better to correct things when you're winning than it is to correct things when you're losing. So, you know, hopefully they can use this to springboard themselves. I'll have to admit, last night I had forgotten it was on.
Shame on me.
I turned it on with about 3 minutes left, and it's tied at 2-2. And Connor and I are there watching it, and Calgary scores to go up 3-2 with 42 seconds left. And he turns to me and he says, every time we watch them, they end up losing. And I said, yep. And then all of a sudden they pull out a miracle. That was an unbelievable finish. And then for Granlund to not only be the guy who ties it, but the guy who wins it. He is bringing energy, and he has become a difference maker ever since they made the coaching change.
He has scored 11 goals since they made that change on January the 7th. You could go back through some tapes of this show where I make the crack about him being MIA. He might as well be missing in action. So, Watson, help me with this. How in sports does a guy go from where he was to 11 goals the minute a new man steps on campus? How does that happen?
It's totally mindset. It's confidence. All those guys can play. And just, I guess, the change of the coach and the positive vibes that came from it. And you never know what turns a kid on. To me, that's the neatness of a very good coach. A good coach is not a yeller and screamer at everybody. He finds the best way to get the best out of every player he has. And it's obvious the change of coach made the difference in that. There may be other things off the court that you don't know about. But the mind is an amazing thing in the world of sports, George. And I can say that from being one, as all of us have, and being a coach on top of it. And I'm just telling you, it's amazing when a kid's confidence level jumps. It's amazing how much better player they become.
It's amazing. 11 goals in 50 days, probably, I don't know, I'm guessing 20 games.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense.
The crazy part about it is that Granlin and Kyle Turris, the two guys that people were saying, get rid of them, you know, because this team needs to rebuild.
Dead and buried.
Those are the two guys that have been leading this comeback charge.
Yeah.
To pile on to Terry, it almost makes you wonder if Granlin's played his way into David Poile having a tough decision to make this offseason when his contract expires.
Yeah, because nobody saw that.
Exactly. With the success that he's had under Hines, it's a legitimately tough decision that Poile will have to make.
Yeah. Hey, before we go to the break, I want to congratulate three friends of, I know for sure, in some cases, Watson, mine, a little bit of Terry as well. Three people who it got announced yesterday will be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. Sonny Smith, a former television partner of mine on a lot of TV broadcasts, the former Auburn basketball coach who grew up in Roan Mountain. Absolutely hysterical to be around. Has been Auburn's color analyst now for several years on radio. To Sonny Smith, congratulations. To my buddy Crispy, Terry Crisp, who's going in. If I'll put it this way, if you don't like Terry Crisp, there's something wrong with you. It's not him, it's you. The best. And I have said this for a long time. When the Predators had nothing in the early going, a fan base that didn't know, didn't care, couldn't figure it out, an expansion team that wasn't going to win, not a lot of fans in the stands, the best two assets they had were Pete Weber and Terry Crisp. Crispy, if you're listening, and you damn well better be, congratulations. And the third one is Tim Corbin. What else needs to be said? This guy's been a miracle worker. And I think more and more people, as they watch the struggles of that athletic department, they're looking at him as the shining light in sort of a thing of darkness. So congratulations to all three of them. Man, that is awesome.
Absolutely.
Thrilled. Yeah,
well deserved. Well deserved. There's no doubt. I hadn't been in just a few years. I may go. That's some good guys.
Yeah. You know what? That makes two of us. Let's go to the break. When we come back, Evan Daniels from CBS Sports is going to join us. Later in the show, around 3:30, Will Perdue, probably a little cynicism, maybe a little Louisville, a little Kentucky. Who knows where we go with Will. But whatever, we're going to have fun today. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a Labish Terrier-Hound-Chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive.
And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kaloudis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers. Direct mail, we've got at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can reach us at print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Welcome, Angie McCartney.
When he'd come home, Jim would say to him, "How are your bowels, son? Are you eating properly?" Dad, you know, I'm a beagle. You don't ask me about my bowels. Oh, it's not that funny. Come on.
We didn't expect to be talking about Paul's bowels this morning.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
.22 always looking forward to having Evan Daniels on from CBS Sports. He's as wired into the basketball scene as anybody I know, and we're very fortunate to get him on here every week. Evan, how are you?
I am doing great, man. It's nice. The sun is finally out a little.
Thank God.
Here in Nashville, and it's been so gloomy lately.
I know it. And it kind of brings you down a little bit, but I'm ready to roll. The weekend is here. And I want to start, imagine this, with a little bit of cynicism, okay?
Okay.
Because I want to hear how much of this you hear on the basketball circuit.
Yeah.
I make no bones up front. Kevin Stallings and I are friends. I see a week ago the whole show cause thing, which I think's a pile of crap. But whatever I think, I also know that out there in the hinterlands is this sort of this, what is the NCAA doing? Sean Miller's free and clear to coach. Will Wade's free and clear to coach. They've been caught in FBI wiretaps. What is going on there?
Just with the NCAA and the FBI investigation?
Yeah, I mean, are they waiting for the second coming? What are they waiting on?
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't foresee either of them really. I mean, unless there's another bombshell or something out there, you know, whatever, you know, the FBI didn't share wiretaps or anything like that with the NCAA. Even if they were caught, you know, talking about something, which some of those reports have been refuted, they have to prove it before they can go in push down a punishment or the university decide to fire. It's a lot more complicated than just, hey, he heard something or we heard something on the wiretaps. It gets reported. Oh, you got to fire the guy. I think it's a lot more complicated than that.
Well, let me ask this question. Do you hear that frustration at all from college coaches that, as I call it, the old Tarkanian line, they're so mad at Kentucky that they gave Cleveland State an extra year?
You know, I think that there's a wide-ranging opinions on this matter among the college coaching fraternity. You know, I know that you and I texted a little bit of stalling show cause, and, you know, it seems like the punishment didn't quite fit the crime. That said, and you would know this better than me, but I'm not sure it really matters. Does he even want to coach anymore? And maybe they came down harder on him knowing that. I don't know. You would know the answer to that question better than I. But I would say there's a wide-ranging opinion on the FBI investigation, NCAA investigation, in terms of the penalties that have come down. And, you know, I have my own opinion, and I think it's, you know, wildly crazy that Book Richardson ended up spending time in jail for what happened. But that's another conversation for another day.
So we're getting to the end of the college basketball season, and on the local angle, we've got three teams that are sitting in a tie right now in the OVC: Austin Peay, Murray, Belmont. And I'm kind of curious. I know you haven't seen all of them, but just from what you gather, which of the three is the most dangerous in your mind that maybe could get in the tournament and have a chance to win a game?
Yeah, that's a good question, because all three are obviously having really good seasons, and I think extremely highly of all three of those head coaches and think they've done a really good job. You know, Austin Peay obviously has that dangerous guard and Terry Taylor. You know, Belmont's got two of the best players in the league and Grayson Murphy and the big fella Nick inside, and Murray State does as well with Tevin Brown and KJ Williams. You know, I was actually I met an OVC coach, unnamed OVC coach, out a couple days ago, and he was talking about how difficult Belmont is to guard, and basically how Casey Alexander came in, and while he does things a little differently, there's obviously some synergy from how Rick Byrd ran the program, but he just talked about how difficult those, especially because of the big fella inside and Grayson Murphy out on the perimeter. So, you know, maybe I would lean Belmont, but honestly, any of those three I think are pretty dangerous teams.
Give me some thoughts on this. I have been, and I guess like you, I'm one of these basketball junkies. I'll stay up late and watch, you know, CBS Sports Network, which gives you a lot of Mountain West. So I've seen San Diego State now five or six times. The likelihood is they're going to be a one or a two seed. They finally slipped up a week ago at home, ironically, against UNLV. What do you think of them? And when you start to say, okay, who are the teams that could make a long run. Do you have San Diego State in that category?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're dangerous, and I think if you sleep on them, you know, it's not the right outlook on San Diego State. I think they've got a dynamic guard and playmaker in Malachi Flynn, who's averaging nearly 17 points and over 5 assists a game. They've got a guy that we're familiar with just from proximity in Yanni Wessel that's having a – Matt Mitchell has been really good for them. They've got some guys that can then shoot it. If you look at their top – their top 7 of 8 scorers are all shooting better than 33% from three, so they're dangerous from the perimeter. Anytime you have good guard play and you can make shots, they're 18th in the country in field goal percentage from the three-point line. That's pretty efficient, and that means you're running some efficient offense and some effective offense. Now, you know, I think that, you know, people are always going to harp, well, hey, you know, they didn't play anybody all year. Well, look at Creighton. Creighton's rolling right now in the Big East. I think that they're a team that can make a run in the Big East tournament. San Diego State beat them, or in the Big East Conference, San Diego State beat them by 31 earlier in the year. Now, obviously, that goes all the way back to November. They're different teams. But this is a dangerous basketball team, and I could certainly see them making a run.
Evan Daniels on the line with us from CBS Sports. As I have mentioned before, really wired into the basketball community. Watson, what do you got for him?
Evan, I keep watching the Big East, and there's so many good teams, and it looks to me like Villanova's really coming on here at the end. If you had to pick two out of that conference that could win the whole thing, who would you pick?
Ooh, see, I wish you could give me three, but I like Seton Hall. I like Seton Hall because they've got arguably the best scorer in the country in Miles Powell, and he can fill it up. But to go with him, they've got arguably the two best defenders in the conference in Romero Gill and Quincy McKnight. And it's a versatile team, man. They're 20-7. They're 12-3 in the league. They guard. They're a pretty efficient basketball team on the offensive end. I like this Seton Hall team. They've won 4 of their last 6. They've got 3 tough ones to close it out: Marquette, Villanova, and Creighton. And, you know, if I was able to pick 3, I would add Villanova and Creighton to that list. Creighton is just so dangerous from an offensive standpoint. And KenPom adjusted offensive efficiency. They're number 5 in the country. They've got dynamic guards. You know, I spoke to Greg McDermott last week about the trio that he has out on the perimeter, and he just raved about Marcus Zagorowski, Tyshawn Alexander, and Mitch Ballack. And those are guys that can really make shots at a high clip, all shooting above 40% from three. Marcus has 62 threes. Tyshawn Alexander's hit 70, and Mitch Ballack's hit 83. Think about that. That's really impressive. Ooh. It's over 210 between the three of them. So I think they're really dangerous because of their offensive ability and their ability to make shots. And then you look at Villanova, and they're starting to come on. Sadiq Bey is progressing into what I think is going to be a lottery pick in his sophomore breakout season. But they've got a really good guard in Colin Gillespie. They've got two freshmen that have progressively gotten better. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, who's won Freshman of the Week in the conference 6 times, and Justin Moore, who's won Freshman of the Week in the conference 5 times. I think all 3 of those teams are pretty dangerous and could make runs.
And my second question to you is, I just don't see anybody that you just say this one and then everybody else. Not even close. Duke has gone backwards here a little bit. I kind of thought they were the one that was coming on and going to sneak in and really play, and now they haven't. Kansas has gotten better. Is there somebody that we're missing that you see that you really think has a shot at a run?
Well, you said it. I like what Kansas is doing. I mean, they've won 13 in a row. They beat Baylor last weekend at Baylor. It was the biggest home game in Baylor history. Scott Drew told me that they had courtside seats going for $1,000, general admission going for $400, and they were able to go in there and beat them. So I like that Kansas team. They've got one of the best guards in the country in Devon Dotson. He can guard. He can play make. And then they've got one of the best post players in the country in Udoka Azubuike. But they've got a perimeter that can really guard when you throw Marcus Garrett in there. It's a good group, and I like that Kansas team. I think they're probably a safe pick. But I also would agree with what you're saying, is there's no true dominant team. And obviously Duke has had some stumbles recently. I still like that Baylor group. They've got a dynamic playmaker and guard and Jared Butler. They've got some guards or some guys that can really guard. So I like the Baylor team too. But, you know, there's other teams. Gonzaga, I think, is very good. Dayton is very good. And then, you know, after that tier, there's like a group of 15 to 20 that any of them could end up going to a Final Four. It may sound crazy, but, you know, if you wrote out a list of 15 to 20 schools, you know, all those guys, I think, could have a legitimate chance to make a run of the Final Four.
Terry?
Evan, to piggyback off of that, I was going to ask you, if the regular season ended right now, who would you have as your four number one seeds, and in what order?
Well, I'm no bracketologist, but I would go Kansas. It would probably go Kansas, Baylor, Gonzaga, San Diego State. That might not be the exact order, but I would guess that Kansas and Baylor are the top two.
It's close enough for this show, Evan.
Yeah, that would be my guess as far as the one seeds go. There's still a lot to play out with the conference tournaments, and it'll be interesting to see how things shake out, because you know, as we've seen, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. That's college basketball in general, but especially this year.
Would Duke have been in there had they not lost to Wake Forest the other night?
But I mean, it's a combination of losing to Wake Forest, but also losing to the NC State by 22 a week before. You know, they had started to get on a little bit of run. I think they had won seven in a row, including beating Florida State, which is a tremendous win. I actually think they're a dangerous, dangerous team. If you watch them against Louisville, you really saw what they were capable of. I mean, they just poured it on them in the last 10 minutes. And in the NCAA tournament, I think Florida State – I know I'm getting off topic here, but I think Florida State's – I think they're going to be a tough out in the tournament, because there are not many teams that can roll out as many long athletes that can guard the way Florida State can. I would not want to see them in my section of the NCAA tournament bracket if I was a college coach.
And my last one, let's jump over to the American Athletic Conference. That's maybe – a notch below the Power Fives, but there's some programs with good basketball pedigrees in that league. How many bids do you see that league getting right now?
Well, that's a good question. Probably looking at three. You know, Houston is a good, dangerous basketball team. I like their team. I think that Cincinnati probably gets in. I know that most bracketologists have them just in right now. So I would say those two for sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to get a third. Wichita State probably would be the third. But yeah, I would say as of now, three.
Okay, Evan, we're going to force you to be a bracketologist one more time. You ready?
Yep.
So yep. I think the four you put out there as number ones are dead on. I think everybody right now, if the season stopped at this moment, those four in some order would be it. How close is Dayton to sneaking into that group?
Well, I think that they're probably on the two line right now. I don't have their quad win numbers in front of me, but I would imagine that they're probably on that two line. And I mean, look, this Dayton team has been on a run. It's absolutely tore through the Atlantic 10 Conference. I think they've won close to, I think, 17 in a row. They're undefeated in league play. And I think we've talked about this on the show before. I think they're a really dangerous team. They've got a guy that I think could be a top three pick in the draft, in Obi Toppin. Their offensive efficiency numbers are staggering. They shoot better than 62% from the field. Two-point percentage. Their effective field goal percentage is nearly 60%. It's number one in the country. Their adjusted offensive efficiency is top five in the country. I could certainly see them. I mean, stuff would have to. There would have to be some losses from those one seeds in the conference tournaments for something to shake out for them to try to move into the one slot. I would guess that they're pretty firm at the two spot right now, but you never know.
Evan, for what it's worth, they are 4-2 against quad one opponents.
Okay. I knew that I didn't have those numbers in front of me. I knew that they had a handful of quad one wins. But
now, did I know that 30 seconds ago? Hell no. By the way, they're 6-0 against quad twos.
Yeah, see, they're 4 in the net.
Yeah. They're close.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility for them to sneak up. And obviously, some of these other teams have more quad one wins. They also have more opportunities. You know, I just pulled it up. Kansas has 11 quad one wins. Baylor has 10. Creighton, 9. Villanova, 8. So, Seton Hall has 10. That's ridiculous. So, these other teams, especially if you're in the Big East, you're in the Big 10, you get a lot more. Big 12, you get a lot more opportunities for those quad one wins than a Dayton does. But I still think this Dayton club has been really impressive.
Hey, thanks for the visit, as always. It's fun to talk a sport I love to watch with you, and can't thank you enough for doing it.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas. Y'all have a great weekend.
Evan Daniels, CBS Sports, joining us here on the show. Let's go to the break at 2:40, and then a couple, three notes from the combine that we'll just kind of toss out there and react to a little bit. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Samuel T. Bryant Distillery is a true small-batched craft distillery. Premium ingredients, start to finish, on a family farm in Jackson, Tennessee. Online at SamuelTBryant.com. SamuelTBryant.com.
Madame Tussauds is Nashville's most interactive, famous fun experience and the only all-music-themed wax attraction in the world. To the end of February, Tennessee residents save $14 with the 10 for Tennessee rate. Where else but Madame Tussauds can you sing along with Patsy Cline, strike a pose with Justin Timberlake, rock out with Elvis, or take a selfie with Carrie Underwood? You will laugh, sing, dance, and make memories as you step into iconic musical moments in rock, pop, blues, jazz, and country. To get your $10 for Tennessee rate, just present your ID to the friendly admission staff at Madame Tussauds, just inside Opry Mills. Madame Tussauds, Nashville, unforgettable, famous fun.
Samuel T. Bryant makes premium spirits in small batches, start to finish. Jackson, Tennessee's premier craft distillery, Samuel T. Bryant. Online at SamuelTBryant.com. SamuelTBryant.com.
Madame Tussauds is Nashville's most interactive, famous fun experience and the only all-music-themed wax attraction in the world. Through the end of February, Tennessee residents save $14 with the 10 for Tennessee rate. Where else but Madame Tussauds can you sing along with Patsy Cline, strike a pose with Justin Timberlake, rock out with Elvis, or take a selfie with Carrie Underwood? You will laugh, sing, dance, and make memories as you step into iconic musical moments in rock, pop, blues, jazz, and country. To get your $10 for Tennessee rate, just present your ID to the friendly admission staff at Madame Tussauds, just inside Opry Mills. Madame Tussauds, Nashville, unforgettable, famous fun.
There will never be another Luther Vandross, and no other voice comes closer than Reuben Studdard.
Here and now, I promise to love.
Reuben sings Luther. March 8th, Skarmahorn Symphony Center. Reuben Studdard, in a night of timeless hits, performed the way Luther performed them in concert. Tickets on sale now at NashvilleSymphony.org.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
Tim Corbin, head coach of Vanderbilt Baseball, joining us.
That can be sometimes a touchy thing because as a player, there's certain times where you can approach a player within a game and there's certain times where you probably don't want to. And I think that's really understanding your players too and who can receive that information and it won't bottle them up.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Four is the time. At 3 o'clock, we're going to open up the phone lines for about 30 minutes. And then my buddy Will Perdue is going to join us. That is never dull when he comes front and center stage. So at 3 o'clock, you pick some things that are on your mind and let's get down to it. So first things first, the combine is going on right now. Personally, if you think I'm going to sit around and watch that on television, no thank you. That doesn't really excite me.
No, it doesn't me either because, you know, to be honest with you, it's hard to get a gauge. Some guys play much better with the pads and the helmet on than they do looking good running around against air.
Right. I would have been better with air.
Yes. You know,
once they start hitting you, I would have headed toward the sideline.
I think Jerry Rice ran a 4.640 at the combine, and I think there's very little argument that he's the greatest wide receiver of all time.
So we're going to talk out of both sides of our mouth here, and I'm going to ask Jack Gentry to pull out a few players that would be of local interest, regional interest. And then we'll bat it around a little bit. Jack, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be
here. You're welcome.
So, some interesting names in the SEC that have ran so far in the combine. We'll start with the Alabama Burners.
They've run.
They've ran.
They have not ran.
They've run. Sorry. That's my
bad. You went to BGA.
What's
didn't
going
you?
On with me? Okay. It's Friday.
BGA.
It's Friday. Give me
not
a break.
An English major.
Look, they done taught you better than that.
You better read them 40 times.
Okay. I'm trying.
Let's hear it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Henry Ruggs III put up a 4.27 40, fastest time in the combine. Jerry Jeudy, his teammate, thought to be a top 10 pick in the draft, 4.45 on the 40. Justin Jefferson from LSU put up a 4.43 time. Kalijah Lipscomb from Vanderbilt, 4.57 40-yard dash. Jared Pinkney ran a slow 5-second 40-yard dash.
I ran a 6.2.
But he tied for second among tight ends in bench press with 23 reps.
Okay, Watson, let's start with the whole 4.27, which is burner stuff. Oftentimes I hear with burners that, well, yeah, but they can't stop and you know, come out of the break and do whatever they need to do, that they're just track guys. So when you see a 4.27 type, what else are you looking for?
Don't need anything else after you've watched that young man play before he ran that. We've already seen him make plays. This is going to be the best receiving group in quite a while. there's going to be some even taken even down lower in the first round, even to the second round, that are bona fide players. So it's somebody's fixing to get some really good playmakers and some speed. Exactly what I think the Titans need. We need one of those kind of dudes to go with what we got. We got two big, strong receivers. We got Humphreys as that inside option route runner, shallow crosses. We need the guy to take the top off. And if we get that, look out. We could have one of the best receiving, maybe the best ones we've ever had at Tennessee. But we need one of those.
I can hear it. I can hear it.
There is a bunch of them.
Watson in the interview. Son, can you take the top off?
Probably have said that once or twice.
And then one of them unscrews, and then one of them unscrews the Gatorade bottle. Sure can.
Two more receivers of interest from especially the local area here. Juwan Jennings ran a 4.73 40, pretty slow for a receiver, but that was expected. And Terry pointed out to me that Van Jefferson was not able to run due to a foot injury.
It's going to have surgery, so it's going to probably drop his draft stock a little bit.
So, Watson, when a Juwan Jennings throws out a 4.7, whatever it was, 4.73, is that an automatic, he goes to the end of the line? Tell me how that works.
Well, it goes back to performance and if it's a big body. When there's a big body that's made a lot of plays, they'll live a little bit. Now, he's going to go down when he runs 4.7 something. And basically, I think one of our guys, Lipscomb, ran 4.67. That's right at 4.7. I think that's what you said. And he's not a big body. See, I think that at more than it does Jennings, because Jennings is going to position himself. He's going to be one of those fade route runners. He can run those slants inside with a big body. Somebody will take him still up there pretty good, I think. And I'm not talking about first round. But guys, I mean, Hill with the Chiefs was a fourth rounder. So I mean, there's the receivers. There's going to be some really good playmakers coming out of this bunch.
But let me ask this, Terry: the Titans are not going to do this with a first round pick, are they?
No, I wouldn't think so.
This is down the road.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's deep this year really helps them.
Sure, because you can get a guy who can run and maybe has some pretty good speed in the second or third round. They've got bigger issues. They need an edge rusher. They could need a right tackle. They could need a starting cornerback, depending on what happens with Jack Conklin and Logan Ryan, respectively. So there are areas of need that they will likely address in the draft with their first couple of picks. But that's not to say that if there's somebody there they can't pass up. If Ruggs somehow lasted till 29, I think they'd jump. But obviously, I don't think he's going to.
Okay, give me the numbers you said on Pinckney.
Pinckney ran a 5.40, but he had a 23-rep bench press, which was second for his position group.
Watson, don't you think he will be one that they get in a room and say, okay, you had kind of a monster junior year and a little bit of an MIA final year. What's the deal?
That 5.00 hurt him. That hurts. All of us going into the season thought that his biggest trait was receiving and not blocking. And yet he has a 5.00, but 23 times with 2.25 is good. That's strong. And so he goes up the ladder in a strength way as a blocker, but he goes down the ladder because of that foot speed time. That's tough on him there now. 5.00 is not good.
Jack, give me one more, whoever you want to go with. And if you haven't got one, I've got one.
I just closed out of the page, so it's all you.
Jake Fromm, what did we hear about his stuff up there?
So from Todd McShay yesterday, I watched a clip. And he was very impressed with his deep ball accuracy. He didn't see that coming. He said he thinks he did a lot to help him. He also mentioned Jalen Hurts as a guy who exceeded his expectations, said his accuracy was uncanny. It wasn't inconsistent like we had seen in the Senior Bowl and in prior performances this year.
And to be honest, his years at Alabama.
Mm-hmm. He also mentioned Jordan Love, the Utah State quarterback that everyone's pretty high on, that didn't really receive a lot of buzz this year. He threw 20 touchdowns, 17 picks in his senior season. But McShay believes he's the third best quarterback in this draft behind Burrow and Tua.
Watson, give me about 30, 45 seconds, then we'll go to the break.
Jalen Hurts is a guy that I've kept in my mind all the way through. There's too many of these teams looking to run these plays like the Ravens are running. And I think he's going to be taken a little higher than people think.
Anything on Fromm?
I like him. I do. But he is he's the old-timey guy. He's the drop-back guy, going to sit there, slide a little bit in pocket, make plays. He's a winner, but a great take. He will play in the NFL. He will be a good player in the NFL. A great one, I don't know. A good one, absolutely.
We'll go to the break, wrap up hour number one when we come back.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kaloudis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kaloudis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
What do you look for in a wine and spirits store? Selection and pricing? Check. Tasting opportunities? Check. Knowledge and helpfulness of the employees? Check, check, and check. Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood checks all of the boxes and more. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated when you walk through the doors. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget, and they can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. Hosting a party? Looking for gift ideas? Maybe you're just picking up a bottle of wine for dinner. Brinkman's Wine and Spirits is there for all your needs. From whiskey to vodka, champagne to Cabernet, they have it all. And don't forget, as the originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Located at 7110 Town Center Way, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
This is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help your house feel more like a home with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.23%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers. Direct mail, we've got at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can reach us at print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Got about a minute left in this hour. We are going to open the phones right when we come back from the top of the hour news break. So I want any and all of you to hit the phones, talk to me a little bit. 615-844-5600. You can pick the topic. By the way, here's one thing I would like to hear. If you were in that arena last night till the end, how cool was that? Where does that rank for you in cool sports memories that you've had? Not that that has to be the topic, but if anybody went last night and is listening to this, I would love to hear from you. 844-5600. Jack, what else?
On Twitter, we are at The Plaster Show. Tweet at us. Get to us there. If you don't have Twitter, it's okay. Go to Facebook at Nashville Sports Radio's Facebook page. You're going to see a link to the live stream at the top of the page. Just chime in through the comments over there, and we can get to you that way.
Hit the phones. We're about to start the weekend.